Chapter 13.
Thank you. Maybe we'll just open. There we go. Alrighty, so we're being recorded today. Nobody, no loud noises, no sneezing, no walking out of my sermon. Can't have that because I'll be up here crying, and then that doesn't sound good on a recording. And he said to them, Jesus speaking, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he shall answer from within." He's not talking out loud here. He's answering from within. "And say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I will say to you," this is Jesus talking again, "though he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
お読みします。祈りについての教えはまだ続きました。それがこの例えです。真夜中にどうしてもパンを3つ借りなければならなくなって友達の家に駆けつけたとします。戸をどんどん叩き声を張り上げて、迷惑をかけてすまない、突然のお客があったのだけど、あいにく家には一切れのパンもないんだ、お願いだから貸してくれないかと頼みます。友達は何と答えるでしょう。中から、勘弁してくれ、今何時だと思っているんだ、戸締まりもしてしまったし、もうみんな寝ている、何も出してやれないよと帰ってくるだけかもしれません。しかし友達だからというのでは何もしてくれなくても、しつこく戸を叩き続けるならその本気に負けて必要なものを出してくれるでしょう。祈りも同じです。諦めずに求め続けなさい。そうすれば与えられます。探し続けなさい。そうすれば見つかります。戸を叩きなさい。そうすれば開けてもらえます。求める人は与えられ、探す人は見つけ出し、戸を叩く人は開けてもらえるのです。パンをねだる子供に石ころを与える父親がいるでしょうか。魚が食べたいという子供に毒蛇を与える親がいるでしょうか。卵が欲しいというのにサソリを渡したりするでしょうか。もちろんそんなはずはありません。罪深い人間でさえ子供には良いものを与えたいと思うのが人情です。そうだとしたら天の父が求める者に聖霊を下さらないわけはありません。
Amen, amen. Wow. This is a very interesting story. I'm preaching on prayer is caught, not taught. Now, we sang a song today. It is called, the words are taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and, give me the word there, Joe.
Taste and see.
Taste and see. Something about the word taste. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. And I know it's going to be almost an obvious answer, but I just want to, while I'm preaching on this thought today, that prayer is to be caught, not taught. I can teach on prayer. In fact, the disciples came to Jesus in this chapter, this
this conversation. And they said to Jesus, teach us to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. And then Jesus gives what I believe is an outline to pray. A prayer. It's the Lord's Prayer. Luke's version is a little bit different in that there's not as many words there, but the theme is there. It's our Father who is in heaven. Holy is your name in the Matthew's version. They sort of leave that off with Luke. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. And on he went. But he never intended the Lord's Prayer to be only something that we repeat over and over and over again, thinking that's going to do something with the heart of God. That will do nothing. Until your heart is in it, that means nothing. When I was younger, and I went to confession in a Catholic church, and it was all of that was great growing up. It taught me a lot of the basics. But when I finished, and I was making up the things that I did wrong, because I'm about 9 years old, 10 years old, we went to confession. I remember inside of that little scary room, the priest opens that little door. You can't see him. He's like in the shadows. And then he's like always moving his hands around like, maybe he's blessing me. I don't know. Then I start out by saying, Father, forgive me, for it's been whatever long time since I've sinned. And he goes, oh, go on, my son. Yes, Father, I didn't wash the dishes. Okay, go on. I did clean up my bedroom and my mom wanted me to. I said a few lies. Okay. Then I'm supposed to say a prayer, which I forgot. It's called the act of contrition. Oh my God, I'm heartily sorry. When I was a kid, I thought that said hardly sorry. I didn't know what heartily meant. So I said, oh my God, my Father, I'm heartily sorry for having offended thee. And then goes on from there, but I forgot the prayer. So Father Murphy then goes for a nice soft low tone. You forgot your prayer. What are you doing in catechism class? I said, I got out of there. My brother Larry says, what happened in there? I got yelled at. You know, that's the way Father Murphy was. Well, anyway, he told me to go to the altar and to say like 10 Our Fathers. 10 Our Fathers. So I go up to the altar and I'm up there praying and I'm trying to count these. Our Father, and then I lose count. Then I go back to one. So after a while, my mom is saying, what is taking him so long up there? Because I thought, I got to say all these prayers. I got to do the Hail Mary and Our Father. And now that I'm an adult, I realize that meant nothing. I did it because I was a Catholic. I've now been confirmed. I was able to do those things. Might have been a little older than 8. Maybe I was 11 or 12. But I still had no sense of sin, wrongdoing. That wouldn't happen until a few years later in my life, but at that moment, back then, I was trying to make up things. But then, what I'm getting at is, you don't say that our Father who art in heaven a number of times thinking that does something to connect you with God. I believe that that is an outline to prayer. It's to help you in your prayer. I'm going to talk to the Father. That's how close God is to the Jewish people of the day. They could not, they would never consider him to be their father, that closeness. That word is Abba, Father, in that original language, in the old Hebrew, the old Aramaic. It means a closeness. It's like calling God, almost like saying Daddy, but not quite. But it's a closeness, our Father. It isn't like a way far away kind of God that you can't even touch, you know. So Jesus brings the Father close to us. I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but I just want you to understand when the disciples came to Jesus, they were saying to him, teach us to pray, like John the Baptist's disciples prayed. And then Jesus says, here's the prayer. This is an outline. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory and the honor. And it ends that way, like it's almost like a praise from the congregation at that point. And then you say the amen. But Jesus doesn't stop there. And I want to talk about what happens in the next two sections. Okay? So Jesus gives a story about a guy who has bread. And I've nicknamed him Bob, okay? Just to keep the story kind of straight, okay? This is not Bob's barbecue, but this is Bob. And Bob is asleep, and it's midnight. And the next guy, I've nicknamed him Larry. My brother's name is Larry, and I couldn't think of anybody in the church that might have that name, so I picked Larry. And so Larry has a friend, I call him Charles. Charles is coming through, you know, he says, I need bread, I'm hungry. Oh, I've got a good friend, his name is Larry, I'll just go to his house. Goes to his house, and Larry says, oh no, I don't have any bread. But I've got a friend. I've got a good friend, and his name is Bob, and I'm going to go to his house, and I'm going to knock on his door, and he will give us the bread. So he goes to Bob's house. So Larry's walking to Bob. Larry's waiting for his, Charles waiting for his bread back over there. Larry's going to the house, knocks on the door, clunk, clunk, clunk. Bob in bed at midnight says, he says to himself, he said, I'm not getting up. My kids are asleep. I'm asleep. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. You ever get one of those phone calls that you just don't really want to take? And you have a hunch, now you have a caller ID, and you can look at, oh no, I don't want to talk to that person, because it's going to be an hour and a half, and I don't even know how to say goodbye, because they never give me the chance to say goodbye. Anybody there with me in that one? You just have somebody that will not hang up. Well, Bob is like that. Bob isn't going to get out of bed. Bob is stubborn. Bob is in bed at midnight. And he said, even though he's my friend, there's something about Larry that gets under my skin. There's something about that guy that really bothers me that I just don't want to get into the whole detail about it. But this guy just keeps on doing things. And he knows that. That's what I'm going to think. Because in his heart, he's saying, he said, I'm in bed. And my kids are in bed. And once my kids get up, that's it. I mean, they're going to be all over the house. I won't get back to bed again. I just got them settled down a few hours ago. Kids are kids, and they're going to be up running around, want to play and all that stuff. And so I'm not going to do that because even though he said he's my friend, but then Bob knows something about Larry, according to the story that Jesus is saying, that there's something about this guy that's not going to give up. And Bob knows that. And Bob knows that this guy Larry is going to keep knocking at the door until I get up out of bed and I answer it. And in the King James Version, it uses a very interesting word. Though he will not get up because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. Oh boy, that's a word and a half. Importunity. That means, you got to get the meaning of this word. Persistence doesn't quite do it. That's what it says in the New King James. It says persistence. And you read it there or with me. I'm not sure how the Japanese translated it. Probably something in that neighborhood. But it's a shameless determination. It's somebody who's not ashamed to keep on plugging away at what they're seeking for. Somebody who is just not going to back up and say, oh, okay, well, I guess the answer is no. I guess I'll just go back and tell my buddy, what was his name? Larry. No, that was Larry. I forgot my names. But anyway, Bob is a guy in there. Larry. Oh, yeah, Charles. I guess I have to go back and tell Charles that I couldn't get the bread. I'm really sorry. You just have to be hungry the rest of your trip. I apologize. But the word is a shameless determination, shamelessness, that you're not embarrassed by it. That's what Jesus is telling us about prayer. He doesn't want us to be ashamed when we go into the prayer closet. He doesn't want us to back up and say, well, I guess I just won't bother the Lord today. The Lord wants you to bother Him. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to be there in His presence. He wants you to come in. He wants to hear what's on your heart. Now, you may say, well, God already knows about all that. Well, now you've hit the whole mystery of life itself. God already knows everything I'm going to do from beginning to middle to end. So why should I even try? I won't even get out of bed because God knows that today might be the day that I'm going to get a mishap. I know a guy, I'll share what his fear is. He doesn't like to fly in airplanes. He's about my age, maybe a little older, in his early 70s. Doesn't like to fly. And here's his reason. He said God only hands out so many positive tickets for flying in an airplane. And then this next time I fly, it might be one of those negative tickets where that airplane is going to go through. And he doesn't fly. That's weird. I mean, for me, it's, I mean, okay, I don't know if that airplane's going down or not, but I'm getting on that airplane because I want to get to where I want to go. And if you want to go back to China, I guarantee you, you've got to get on an airplane because I don't think you're going to take a boat. I don't know how long that takes. And but I mean, that's the way it goes, right? You don't know. My brother is so like, what about this? What about that? And what if this happens? What if that happens? I don't know if those things are going to happen, but it's not going to keep me from trying and going forward. What if you fail? What if I fail? What if you don't preach good? Well, I don't preach good. What if you can't pay your bills? Well, I don't know, because I'm not there yet. In other words, these are things that happen to all of us. But God, who knows all the future of your life, still wants you to press in there and to begin to pray and seek His face and not to back up and not to quit. Don't turn back, but just make yourself known to God. These are my prayer requests. These are things that I'm seeking you for. So Jesus gives us that story. It's a wonderful story. Bob, Larry, Charles. Bob's in bed. He says, I won't even get out of bed because you're my friend, but because you are persistent. Now, last week we studied the other story on persistence. That is the story of the widow woman coming to the unjust judge. And in that story, and I'm going backwards here 1 week, but in that story, the widow woman is very persistent that she can get a righteous answer for her son to this unjust judge. And the unjust judge says, though I don't fear God and I don't regard man, those things that are not part of my life, yet because of her persistence, I'm going to give her what she wants. And then Jesus said for us to hear what the unjust judge says. He said, because of her persistence. Another story about persistence. I don't know about you, but I'm hearing the word from Jesus here this morning. Don't give up on your prayer life. You're seeking God for something. You've been calling upon God. He's been there listening to you, but the answer hasn't arrived. And you haven't heard the word no yet, because sometimes it is a no. But you're just saying, Lord, I don't know what else to do but pray about this. I don't know what else to do but keep seeking your face and calling upon your name and moving forward and going with God in this one. That's all I know to do. And I'm going to keep on until you tell me, Lord, that's enough. Stop right there. Amen. And so we have a word from God to keep pressing on, keep moving. The Bible says, seek the Lord. That doesn't mean He's playing hide and seek with you. That means that He's there. He's in the shadows, and you just press in until you reach the very presence of God and you know you're there. Amen. And God knows that you mean business. My heart is saying, this, Lord, this is what I want. I'm going to go a little deeper. I'm going to go in a little further. I'm going to press on, until you actually move this answer. I've got a lost loved one, Lord. I want to see my family get saved. I've got a husband, a wife, a daughter, someone in the family that's not saved. I need to press on. And when you keep on pressing on, and you're going on and on in the presence of the Lord, God hears your prayer. Amen. Now I want to touch on something else in the story, then move on to my next thought. In this story, Jesus is teaching us to be so persistent. So that's the reason. It doesn't say it in the Bible that this guy was knocking on the door endlessly. That's very important that you get the story. And that's what amazed me, because I have always just assumed by reading it once or twice or gliding through it like I do sometimes to the next story, that the guy was just pounding on the door and that Bob in bed was saying, that's enough already. I've had it. I got to get up. But no, in his heart, Bob is thinking that. So you, in your heart, God already knows what you want, your determination. But you don't know how determined you're going to be. Remember the story of Abraham taking his son, and God says, take your son, your only son, Isaac. I want you to take him, and I want you to sacrifice your only son, the son of promise. So deep and so true, and such an unusual story. I don't want to say weird, but such an unusual story. Now, Abraham then takes his son, Isaac, gets the wood, and he gets all this stuff together. And he starts going up to this place the Lord told him to go to, which today is believed to be where the Temple Mount is, which is where the Dome of the Rock sits and all of that history. They believe that's the mountain, Mount Moriah, that he went to with his son, And here's the thing. In that story, which has a great ending, God already knew what Abraham was going to do. But guess who didn't know what Abraham was going to do? Abraham. Right? He didn't know until the word came and they thought, oh my goodness. Okay, let me pray about this for about 6 months. This is one of those long prayer requests. I think I might make that into about 2 years of praying, because I don't think God would ever ask me to do that. But he took his son. But Abraham could not have done that at that point in his life until he had walked with God for all those years and he saw the hand of God upon his life in such a way that he knew, according to Romans chapter, I forget, I think it's 5 or 6, but he knew that if he did take his only son, that God would raise him from the dead. It says it as plain as day in the Bible. So Abraham was believing God on both ends of the teaching here. He was believing God that his son could be taken care of and even risen from the dead if he brought that knife down. And as the story goes, just as he was going to bring the knife down, he sees this bullock, this bull, who was caught in the thicket of this brush with his horns. And then the Lord says, there's your sacrifice. Whew. Abraham probably went, wow, okay. That was close. I don't even know what Isaac was thinking through all of this. In other words, you guys, persistence. Persistence in prayer. Now, the next part is a very familiar section that we all know very well. Jesus goes right into it. He goes right into the ask, the seek, and the knock. Three key words. Now, if you want to remember the order, you know I'm an acronym guy. I like acronyms. This is an acronym. Just look at the letters, the first three letters, the first letter of each word, and tell me what it spells. First letter of each word. Ask, seek, knock. No?
What?
Ask. Ask. A. Seek. There's your S for ask. Knock. There's the K. In other words, if you ever want to know the order of these words, just remember the word ask. Which I just find that so neat right there. But there's a problem. We got a problem with these words. There is a difficulty when you take the Greek, the original Greek, and you go to translate that into English, the verb tense. I'm not going to get lost in the weeds here, but I just want you to hear this. The verb tense, you cannot translate into English. We don't have a verb for these three Greek verbs, these words, ask, seek, knock. We don't have the direct correlation straight across the board. So we have to do something a little bit different in order to convey the idea. And here it is. This is how it should be translated. Ask and keep on asking. I love this part. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Then Jesus says, for whatever you ask for, you'll receive. Whatever you seek for, you will find. And knock, it will be opened. Isn't it interesting? It follows the story of Bob and Larry. Larry going to the door, knocking on the door. And Jesus goes into this whole teaching. Hey, here we are again. It's all right to pray for the same prayer request over and over again. And say, dear God, I haven't got the answer that I was seeking you for. When you've got peace in your heart, you feel good about it, and the answer has come, and you believe it in your heart, you can move on to the next prayer request. But until you actually feel it deep inside, until you know that you know that you know that God is going to be moving upon that need, it's okay to keep coming into the throne of God. It's okay to keep on seeking God. It's okay to be calling upon His name. It's okay to keep pressing in. It is okay that you keep on keeping on. You keep on asking. You keep on seeking. You keep on knocking. You just keep on with it. Amen. And that's where the Lord wants us to go. It's not an easy road to follow because doubt gets in the way. Our flesh gets in the way. Our hopes get pushed down. Our dreams seem to be put under. But the Lord says, don't worry about those things. I just want you to press in there. I want you to come into my presence. I want you to come in boldly and seek my face and call upon my name and I will answer. And then you come in and you do all that stuff and you walk away and there's no answer. And then you want to give up. But you got to be persistent like Larry was. You can't just say, well, that's it. No bread today for me and my friend. And then walk away. But no, you got to be saying within yourself, I'm going to keep on until the answer comes. And I'm going to keep pressing in until I know. Amen. Until God answers. Until the Lord I know has touched that need in my life. Praise God. See, I'm praying for something so big, it has to be the Lord. It's way beyond my capability. It's way beyond my preaching capability. It's way beyond and be anything I would ever dream possible. But that's what the Lord has called me to do. And I feel like He's saying, this is what I want you to pray for. I'll tell you what that is right now. A small group of people. I'm praying for revival to hit Tucson. That's like a huge request. There's over 1 million people in the surrounding areas of Tucson, Arizona. It's a big city. If you go up to A Mountain and you look over the city, you're going to see a lot of cars and streets and stoplights. And you barely see those things. You see the houses up going up into the foothills. And you're going to look at a huge city out there sprawling with people. But the Lord has been saying to me, I want you to see more than just city with streets and street lights and cars and the houses going up into the foothills. I want you to see what's going on inside of those homes. There's mothers that are crying for help with their children. There's fathers that have lost their jobs. Lost their business. There's homes that are broken. There's people that are falling apart. There are things happening right down there in the city of Tucson that is just a mess for a lot of people. Somebody needs to stand in the gap, and somebody needs to pray, and somebody needs to seek the Lord. Am I the only one? There is no way. When Elijah thought he was the only prophet around, God says, hold on, Elijah. I've got 5,000 more prophets just like you. You're not the only guy praying. You're not the only guy prophesying. You're not the only one. So I will never believe for a second that I'm the only one. But I'm telling you that this is what the Lord has called me to do. And that's why I'm trying to get you excited about prayer. Get you moving in that direction. Get you going to where you catch this whatever it is I have. Catch the vision. Catch the spirit. Let your prayer life go from 5 minutes to 10 minutes and maybe the sweet hour of prayer. Now, if you're honest with yourself, can you even say those words? We say them, but can we even say them? Sweet hour of prayer. And say, well, I don't know if I pray an hour. I don't really want to set my watch to an hour. That's it. And I run out of things to say. So that's why I said to you, just sit. Sit and just be in God's presence. Put on some worship music. Just sit there. That's okay. I mean, we're not confined to a certain way to pray. The Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And while they were sitting, you have to get that in your head. While they were sitting, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the room where they were sitting. Amen. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were moved upon by God. And Peter then stands up with the 11. Because now they've chosen the 12th guy. So Peter makes 12. The 12 apostles stand up. And then I guess they're wondering who's going to talk first here. Somebody's got to say something. Because we're all sitting here with a brand new experience. We don't even know what's going on. And then Peter says, ye men and brethren of Jerusalem, these men are not drunk with new wine as ye suppose, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, saying, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And upon my handmaidens in that day, and upon all my people in those days, I will pour out my spirit. Peter's letting them know that it's a new era in the church. I'm not preaching on that today, but I want you to get a vision of what's happening. When these things begin to take place, you're digging deeper, you're going farther, you're moving in. Something new and extraordinary will take place. Amen.
So, once you get that picture, ask. Keep on asking. Don't give up. Seek. Keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. The idea, again, in that one, so we have the prayer, our Father who art in heaven. We move into Bob, Larry, and Charles, the story of these three guys. Then Jesus moves right on into ask, seek, and knock. And now I want to finish with this thought. Because a lot of people don't know about prayer. In fact, and I have this in my notes, I didn't say it at the beginning, I'll say it now. Some people just don't know how to pray. They've been taught a whole nother way to pray. They think that God is like a great big Santa Claus. And that they can just go on a list. God, I want. Hey, by the way, you know, this came up the other day too. And somebody said, I was praying for $1 million. Why can't I have it? If you had a million dollars, and I'm not saying spend it on a house, but what would you do with it? And would you be any happier after having it a couple weeks later? I'll give you 2 weeks. that you're overjoyed to have $1,000,000. Now all your bills are paid off. Everything's nice. Your car's new. It's paid off. Everything's great. But now what? What are you going to do with your life now? So people think that God is this great big answering whatever up there. I can't even put words to it. They just think, okay, it's an endless prayer request. Okay, God, I want a new car, new house, new clothes, money in the bank. Let's add a few more things there. I want to go on vacation to Hawaii. I want to go to Europe. Let's see, I'm going to keep on going. And they keep on thinking of things until they can't think of anything else. And then God is just going to say, well, okay, there you go. Here's your new house, new car, new clothes, trip to Hawaii, trip to Europe. You're all set. You're all done. I'll talk to you next time we get together. And they say, I'll be back in a while, like about a couple of years, because that's all going to run out pretty soon. But Jesus does not use that analogy for the story. Did you notice that he said, who of you being a father would not give good gifts to his son? If he asked you for bread, would you give him a stone, an egg, a scorpion? Or there's a couple more examples. Well, Jesus is ending this teaching back upon the spirituality of the praying person. He comes back. He doesn't say, get what you want. Just make the list, I'll give it to you. No. He said, a good father, even though he's evil on this earth, will give good gifts to his children. How much more will your Father give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So my final thought is, when you go into prayer time, just get in there and start praying for the Holy Spirit to guide your prayer time. You don't have to do anything. Father, fill me up today with your Holy Spirit. That's all I want. That's all I need. And by just receiving that, I'm going to be satisfied. So I'm not going to be going on a long list of all these things that I get disappointed about. Lord, in this time today, I'm not going to be complaining. I'm just going to sit and I'm going to listen to you. Teach me how to listen. Teach me how to pray. Show me the way that I should go, because the Holy Spirit has now come down. Fill the room where you're sitting. God is moving. And God is touching. You know that old, I started saying it earlier, but I'm thinking about that old song the other day. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Now when you feel little prayer wheel turning, then you'll know little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a light and shining night or day. I don't know the words now. And da 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 da. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it whole right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Now when you feel little prayer will turning, then you'll know little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. It does. It makes it right. Now that's an old song. Growing up, that would be on page 92 of your Greenback hymnal. Right, Julie? 94 is another song we like. Amen. Amen. Then we sing another song. We say, send it on down, Lord. If you need the Holy Ghost, send him on down, Lord. If you need the Holy Ghost, send him on down. I forgot the words of that one too. If you need the Holy Ghost, oh, tell him what you want. Tell him what you want right now. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Tell him what you want right now. If you want a healing, tell him what you want. If you want a healing, tell him what you want.
If you want a healing, tell them what you want. Tell them what you want right now. Amen. Now, I can't sing, you know that. You've already, I proved it now with three songs. I'm just telling you that let yourself go in your prayer time, and you're going to have an experience. It's going to take you from earth into heaven and then back down again. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to close out with a song, and I'll say a quick prayer, and that'll be it. Amen. So good to be with you today. Oh, yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you're teaching me the value of prayer in a new way. I pray that these people today would catch, just literally catch, prayer. That it would come upon them. They would, as they taste and see some of that greatness of the Lord, and His very being would come upon them because they've tasted of the Lord. It's been transmitted and come to them in a way that they never dreamed possible. I pray that as we touch each other today, that we'll transmit something about prayer to one another. We'll encourage somebody. We'll shake their hand and we'll say, God bless you, and we'll really mean it. And they'll feel that we mean it because they're catching something, Lord, that we have. It's coming upon them. It's a good thing. It's not like the coronavirus, a bad thing. This is a good thing that people are going to catch. I pray in the name of Jesus, everybody here would be caught with the power of prayer would come upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All righty.